The Old Testament reading today is from Exodus 20, verse 17, and it's the ninth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our gospel reading today is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, and it's talking about do not judge. Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Do you still remember the biotech company called Theranos, based in Palo Alto, California? It was an American privately held corporation that was once highly praised because of a breakthrough in blood testing. Founded in 2003, 20 years ago, by then 19-year-old Elizabeth Holmes, Theranos raised more than $700 million from venture capitalists and private investors, resulting in a $10 billion valuation at its peak in 2013 and 2014. The company claimed that they had invented a blood testing device that could run hundreds of medical tests on a single drop of blood. It sounded too good to be true. Yes, after all, it turned out to be a false claim. It was a fraud indeed, a big one. It was reported that before Theranos' claim turned out to be a fraud, Safeway signed a contract with Theranos for the blood testing startup in nearly 1,000 nationwide stores, including California's Vons grocery stores, and spent nearly $400 million on the deal. Around the same time, Walgreens paid Theranos $140 million upfront, of which $100 million was an innovation fee. Well, when the fraud was exposed, these two chains, along with many others, of course, canceled the deals and later sued Theranos. So in 2018, Theranos, Elizabeth Holmes, and former company president Sonny Balwani were charged with fraud by the SEC. Holmes and Balwani were also charged with wire fraud and conspiracy, with Holmes being found guilty on four counts of January 2022 and sentenced in November to 11 years and 3 months in prison. Little did we know the stunning medical breakthrough of the blood testing invented by the seemingly the young genius Elizabeth Holmes turned out to be one of the massive deceptive crime cases. The case of Elizabeth Holmes might be one of many fraud cases that deceive the public. Yes, some people would lie and harm other people in order to gain money, fame, and profits. They are greedy liars, right? And some people would lie other people in order to gain power, recognition, and positions. They are called as power-mongering people. One of the examples would be George Santos. George Santos is an American politician and a newly elected member of the House of Representatives from New York at the age of 34. But as you have heard on the news, he has made numerous false, dubious, or iffy claims about his biography, work history, criminal record, financial status, education, ethnicity, family, religion, and other matters, both in public and in private. Yes, he has lied about practically everything in his life and has admitted that he had lied to the public. However, despite numerous calls to resign from members of both major political parties, Santos has refused to resign. By the way, interestingly and ironically, his last name, Santos, means saint, a holy person of God. Anyhow, in many cases, sadly, someone's lies and false witnesses cost some other innocent people's lives. Daryl Button is one of the victims. His case is introduced in the book Words of Life. He was arrested for the crime of a murder that he never committed. However, it was mainly because of the two lying witnesses who testified falsely against him. These men had made deals with the police and the prosecution to have their serious criminal charges they were facing dropped. So Daryl was sentenced to a total of 75 years in prison. And it took 24 years for the innocent man to be finally exonerated. He is now serving God and people as a faithful pastor. This morning, we are learning and relearning the ninth commandment of the 10th commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, God strongly and repeatedly commands God's people not to lie or give any false testimony. One of those passages is shown in Leviticus. You shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, and you shall not lie to one another, and you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. So, in this case, you might wonder why this ninth commandment is not simply, you shall not lie, but a rather more specific commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Yes, this ninth commandment prohibits false testimonies, especially in a legal setting, because all those outcomes surely lead to condemnation and execution of the innocent. Why would some dishonest people lie and give false witness even in a legal setting? I guess regardless the time between the ancient times and now, those liars are not so much different. According to a commentary on the ninth commentary, the commandment, quote, there are various factors that would lead to generating false testimony, siding with the majority, favoritism, bribery, classism, and racism, or discrimination against foreigners, unquote. They would willingly and intentionally lie, even though they know their lies could harm and cause a great deal of damage, loss, and disaster to the victims. They do not care and would not care. Their intention, purpose, and priority are only on their own gains and agenda. Some people might sugarcoat and justify their lies as negotiating skills or stretching the truth or whatever the other compromising expressions. However, if your lies and untruthfulness ever harm, hurt, or abuse someone or some people in any way, it would mean that you are breaking and disobeying God's ninth commandment. Think about it. Everybody lies. Everybody lies one way or another. Maybe a little lie here and there every day. Of course, most people's lies might be harmless. Well, people call these harmless lies as white lies. Interestingly, if you Google lies, you would get tons of results, including 10 types of lies or 5 types of lies or many other categories. And the white lies category always appears in most results. According to a dictionary, white lie is a lie that is told in order to be polite or to stop someone from being upset by the truth. Yes, knowingly and unknowingly, we are using white lies time to time in order to avoid the confrontations, awkwardness, or embarrassment. I know you don't want to hurt someone's feelings, right? In this sense, these white lies can be indeed good lies. So I think these harmless white lies are not just lies per se, but necessary words of wisdom in life, right? Moreover, there could be even life-saving moment if you do not tell the truth. One of the good examples would be Oskar Schindler. Even though his story was introduced in the history novel and the Academy winning 1993 movie Schindler's List, it was based on a true story of saving so many Jews from the Nazi Germany. And probably there could be many other stories about the good people who were able to save innocent lives from the evil military government by not telling the truth to the authorities. Of course, these good lies might be rare, yet could be life-saving. You can find this kind of case from the Bible. Remember the two midwives, Shifra and Puah, from the book of Exodus. When Pharaoh asked them why they were not obeying his orders to kill Hebrew baby boys, they lied by saying, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are much stronger and give birth before any midwives can get to them." These midwives were smart, wise, yet lied, yet saved probably many Hebrew baby boys' lives from the evil hands of Pharaoh. See? That's why ninth commandment is not thou shalt not lie. Rather, it prohibits any false witness that harms, hurts, and brings risk, danger, and destruction to anyone. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. No wonder in the Beatitudes, Jesus teaches his disciples, his followers, and us how not to bear witness, false witness, against our neighbors. It's simply do not judge. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Even there is a popular saying, what goes around comes around. Exactly. If you ever bear any false witness against your neighbor, it could and might come back to you and haunt you. On the other hand, if you treat other people nicely and kindly, you would be treated very well. Apostle Paul also urges all the followers of Jesus. This might be Paul's version of the ninth commandment. Let us all read together. Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility, think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. In the book Words of Life, the author Adam Hamilton makes an important point on this ninth commandment. Quote, the opposite of bearing false witness about ourselves, particularly of the prideful sort, is humility. The opposite of bearing false against others is to speak words that build others up, words that give grace to those who hear, unquote. My brothers and sisters in Christ, your words, your deeds should be powerful and graceful instrument of healing, blessing, and love. Whenever you build others up, you will find your own heart is filled with joy and gratitude. And this is the essence of the ninth commandment. I'd like to close my sermon with a story of Osceola McCarthy, who exemplified the humility and sacrificial love of Christ for others. She was the Mississippi washwoman who had to drop out of school in the sixth grade, but who celebrated her long life of faith, work, and stewardship by giving $150,000 to the University of Southern Mississippi for scholarships. She never got such an education, but she wanted others to have it. Amazing. When word got out of what she had done, people often asked her, Miss McCarthy, why didn't you spend the money on yourself? Her answer, with a smile, thanks to the good Lord, I am spending it on myself. Osceola McCarthy practiced her strong faith in God truly by way beyond the ninth commandment. May we also witness the love of Christ through her life and legacy when we apply the ninth commandment in our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.